You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody. I want to thank again our attendees and contributors to tonight's program that attended the recent gathering of Countercurrents Summer Conference in Eastern Europe. Also, Rich and Janice, who were at the Nathan Bedford Forest Boyhood Home today for the annual Forest Homecoming, annual event there to help raise funds to maintain the grounds and expand the facilities to have meeting space. And more there. Gene Andrews doing a wonderful job, one of our regulars. And we move on now to John Fassbender, who is the executive director of the American Freedom Party. His position in the party hierarchy is second only to the chairman. And he's a young guy with vigor, and he reminds me a lot of myself at that age. And for reasons not the least of which being that I cut my teeth in third-party politics. That was actually my entry into this whole thing, as you know, with the Reform Party back in 99 and 2000. I was 19 and 20 years old, respectively, when Buchanan made his last run for the presidency. So that is still something that is near and dear to my heart. It's how I got my start, and I think it's a wonderful and valiant effort. So we're going to say hello to John Fassbender. We're going to give you a little bit more about his background in the next segment. But, John, how are you doing tonight? And thanks for being with us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. It really is a pleasure to be here, and I hope you're doing well. I'm doing great myself.
Well, we are, and thank you so much. I was excited about your ascension to executive director, and I was feeding off of the enthusiasm that I've seen from some of your messages, so certainly excited to have you on tonight to talk a little bit more about it. So I think, of course, the question has to be, in America, which is certainly very different to Europe in terms of its electoral process, you have you got to go back a long time. You got to go back to Ross Perot to have a third-party candidate that made a big impact on the presidential level, but, of course, not winning any states. Got to go all the way back to George Wallace to find a third-party candidate who won states in the presidential primary. But that may or may not be necessarily the goal of American Freedom Party. Tell us what the intentions are there.
Absolutely, and it's an excellent question. I mean, you know, the idea of dissident right, duly registered political parties isn't really something that we've seen in quite some time. And the American Freedom Party has existed in some form or fashion for a little bit now, just about over a decade. But in recent times, we've gone ahead and revamped it. We've swapped up the iconography to really bring it into sort of the and bring it into the 21st century. Bring it into 2023. And ultimately, what it is that we're trying to accomplish here is there's not any one particular goal as far as, you know, we don't exist exclusively to run candidates. Candidates is a big part of what we're doing. In fact, and this is the first time it's being publicly announced, with permission from the chairman, we are going to be running congressional candidates in all 9 districts in Tennessee. And, we can look forward to that coming up soon. Yes, and that's something we're extremely proud of and excited about, something that, we encourage everyone to really, jump on board with. And we're also looking, we do not have a candidate for each district yet. We are, this is a call for candidates. If you're interested in running, please do reach out, and we're more than happy to sponsor your campaign. But other than campaigns, the American Freedom Party exists both as a networking and a think tank module. We're here not only to, some people question, and this is understandable, the viability of a political party for the dissident right, given the amount of flack that we receive for simply existing, for simply even being who we are, nevertheless being proud of it, is enough to say, well, is it worth, putting yourself out there, putting your face and your name and all of these, all of this personal information out there for people who hate you, basically paint a target on your back? And the answer ultimately is that if you're not interested in taking that avenue of things, first of all, I do believe there is viability in it. If we just stop trying, you know, we're certainly not going to win anything. But the other aspect too is, you know, I mean, there's the idea of fraternal bonding, organizing family events, really celebrating our culture as you know, heritage Americans in this country. And that's something we don't see a lot of. So the American Freedom Party does exist for many, many reasons. And I would argue that no matter what your reason is, so long as you're well-intentioned, there's a place for you here.
Well, I would say this, and I want to toss it over to you, Keith. But again, there would be no TPC for whatever good we've done, whatever good you think we've done, whatever good we've actually done over the course of the 19 years we've been on the air, would not have happened had it not been for the third party initiative. That's what got me into politics. And from there, I followed one broken trail and open door to another, and it led me into radio. And that's where I've been ever since. But I can remember that Buchanan campaign, that third and final Buchanan campaign for presidency, for the presidency, getting him on the ballot, the intricacies of the ballot access requirements as it varies so wildly from state to state. So I have
a nice trip out to California out of it.
I was out there in California as a delegate for Buchanan and as a national a member of the National Committee for the Reform Party, which was still getting public funding, taxpayer funding, because of Perot's showing in '96. Was still getting matching taxpayer funds for its percentage of the vote that Perot had received in 96. So, you know, that we thought we had a chance to do something there. But when they blocked Buchanan, when they changed the rules for getting Buchanan into the debate, that, you know, certainly was a blow, amongst other things. But nevertheless, there are things that can come from activism that you just don't know and that you can't imagine. But I am not so sure, Austin, that third-party candidates, independent candidates, whether you have a ballot access line that says American Freedom Party or independent candidate, because again, that's something that varies from state to state, whether they will give you your party's name or if you have to run as an independent, it changes from state to state. I'm not so sure that candidates, especially on, I mean, it's wonderful to get the publicity that comes from running for president or senator or congressman, but I am not so sure party candidates could not win on lower level local elections. And that's something that, is that something that the party's considering?
Oh, absolutely. That's, I mean, let's be real with ourselves. Starting off running dissident political candidates, we're not going to throw all our money behind somebody running for president right off the bat. It's a waste of resources, and it's frankly just a bit whimsical. It would be wonderful if that was viable, but at this stage, it's not. One day we would love for it to be. But as it stands right now, especially in maybe more easy to win areas that are a little bit more, you know, with a bit healthier American demographics, are more willing to listen to the ideas of people like us, people who preach what we preach. And it's absolutely, I believe, to be a viable thing. We've seen it. In fact, if you're familiar with the fellow Judd Blevins, who won
his
race.
Yes, I am familiar.
I believe it was Oklahoma.
That's Tulsa, Oklahoma, or near Tulsa, I believe.
Yes, indeed. So, that's right. Enid.
Yeah, Enid. That's right. Enid, Oklahoma. So this was a guy who was outed as having been a Unite the Right participant, and he ran for a local election and won, even with that being on his record and even with that being something that they were using against him, he won. And he won. Was it a city or a county commissionership?
I believe it was city, but I can't recall off the top of my head. But
that's right. I believe it was city of Enid. I believe you are correct. All right, stay tuned right there. Austin, Austin was earlier. We've got John Fassbender. Yeah, of course, John Fassbender. I was going to say, wanted to remind everybody of Austin's opinions. We'll be right back with John Fassbender right after this.
The Honorable Cause of Free South is a collection of 12 essays written by Southern nationalist authors. The book explores topics such as what is the Southern nation, what is Southern nationalism, and how can we achieve a free and independent Dixie. The Honorable Cause answers questions on our own terms. The book invites readers to understand for themselves why a free and independent Dixie is both preferable and possible. The book pulls in some of the biggest producers of pro-South content, including James Edwards, the host and creator of The Political Cesspool, and Wilson Smith, author of Charlottesville Untold, Arkansas congressional candidate and activist Neil Kumar, host and creator of the Dissident Mama podcast, Rebecca Dillingham, author of A Walk in the Park, My Charlottesville Story, Identity Dixie's Patrick Martin, and yours truly, Michael Hill, founder and president of the League of the South, as well as several other authors. The Honorable Cause is available now at Amazon.com.
Matthew 24:24 teaches us that the church is deceived today. Deceived Christians call themselves Judeo-Christians. Around 1900, Jews commissioned the Scofield Reference Bible, which transformed the Jews from Christian killers to the chosen people. Here's the truth. America is in the Bible. Revelation 21. Our form of government came down from heaven. Verse 3. The many Christian ministers at the Constitutional Convention sought God's will. The God-given rights in the Constitution were ordained by God. America is the new promised land for Christian Israel, and Christians are the true chosen people. True Israel is Christian. Listen to Jesus, quote, "My sheep follow me," unquote, and, quote, "You do not believe because you are not my sheep," unquote. John 10:25-27. The beast has transformed America into the woman mystery Babylon, Revelation chapter 17. For the complete Bible study, write to Christian Knuckles, P.O. Box 210813, Royal Palm Beach, Florida 33421.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back with John Fassbender, and I'm going to give you a little bit more about John's background. He was appointed to the American Freedom Party's Board of Directors in August of 2021 and to Executive Director in 2022, just a few months ago. He began his career in dissident politics at the age of 17, but was politically minded in identitarianism and nationalism ever since becoming interested in politics as a child. He joined Identity Europa in 2018, quickly becoming an interviewer for the organization. This went until the launch of the American Identity Movement, in which he earned his way into prominent leadership positions. John went on to reach the rank of chapter leader for the state of Connecticut, eventually encompassing all of New England, before finally reaching the rank of regional overseer for the entire North Atlantic region of the United States. So you see, this is a young man who is determined. This is a young man who is ambitious. He rises up the ranks and of the ladders of any organization with which he is involved. And now, to the benefit of the American Freedom Party and my longtime friend, Bill Johnson, he is there serving in the position of executive director. Now, I want to thank you, John, for reminding me of Judson Blevins. Now, I looked it up during the break. I know Judd. Yeah. I've heard his story, I should say. He has been elected to the Enid, Oklahoma City Commission. You say, well, we can't turn the rudder of the cause, you know, with it. But where do you start if not with elections you can win? Now, that's not to say, that is not to say that running for federal positions, president, senator, United States congressman, you can't have ancillary effects of raising awareness, because these do get covered by the press a little more often.
Yes.
And in a little bit bigger way. So there are things you can do that come from that are beneficial to the cause, but winning is not necessarily one of them. But this is a man who won. The headline reads here in the Enid News and Eagle, the local paper for Enid, Oklahoma, city candidate accused of white nationalist ties. Keith, you'll remember that when you ran for assessor. What's the percentage of the vote you get when you ran as an outed white nationalist associated with TPC?
Over 40%, which was kind of incredible. You know, I guess I'm well known in this community, and it really startled Newsweek. I'll tell you that they ran a special article on it.
That's right. So you won 40% in the Republican primary. This guy actually did just enough better to win, and he won with the headlines reading, accused of white nationalist ties. He had attended Unite the Right, and he is now a sitting member of the Enid City Commission. So let's again go back to that, John. There are good things that can come from running for higher office, but there are practical things that can come from running for these type of offices. Are those offices and are... Is the American Freedom Party seeking candidates to run for such offices?
Yes, we are. We are always looking for like-minded individuals, people with, you know, intellectuals and even blue-collar workers who have our interests, the interests of our people in mind. We are willing to go ahead and scoop them up and give them a platform where they may not have one otherwise. And that's really what part of what makes the American Freedom Party so unique, is we have the opportunity to do that, to sponsor these dissident candidates. And as you said, there's extreme viability in it. You see you know, running for something like dog catcher, even, you know, running uncontested. It's small little bites, but in time, that can culminate to something huge. It's just a matter of you know, moving in that direction. Saying, you know, well, throwing your hands up in the air and saying, well, there's no point, is a surefire way to make sure we don't win.
John, this is Keith Alexander. Let me ask you this. We run your website on our daily reads. Tell us, or tell our audience, if you would, what's your plank, what's your platform, what are you for, and what are you against at the American Freedom Party?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, our platform is something that we've recently revamped. The American Freedom Party, part of what we came into, being myself and some of the other young folks who jumped in, was we weren't too happy with the way that the platform was laid out. We didn't think people would get a great idea as to what it is that we believe. We have an 11-point platform now, and it can be found on our site, amfreeparty.org. And you can read it there in full, but our 11 points essentially cover the basics, the fundamentals of what it is that we believe. We are, and I'm going to read this directly off of the site, the American Freedom Party stands on a platform that is predicated on the preservation of our traditional European roots, as well as a much needed revolutionary change. We are strong in our conviction that when our policies addressing these 11 points are enacted by a government of the true American people, we will usher in a new age for this country and bring America to new heights greater than she has ever been before. So based upon that, and to build off of that, you know, something, you know, that we're very much invested in is the right to bear arms. You know, protecting the American people, that is the true heritage American people, those of European descent, ending the numerous anti-white programs that there are, you know, sprouting up around the country, the sovereignty of our people, rejecting the notion of, you know, we must be involved in every foreign war that comes our way. War must be reserved only in the defense of our nation and of our people, not for financial gain. Protecting the environment is another big one. Law and order, preserving law and order. This country has fallen into a state of anarchy, and it will only get worse. And we need to rise up and prevent such a terrible, prevent things from getting any worse than they already are. The limiting of corporations, these you know, globalist corporations that seek to you know, undermine and financially destroy individuals and you know, collective groups. And of course, the last
John,
two would
us,
be.
Go ahead and give us the last two, and give us the website again, where people can read the entire party platform and mission statement and all of that on their own time.
So,
and at length.
The last two would be posterity, meaning you know, our children. You know, the future of our children is integral in the rebuilding of our culture. Something that is, I mean, that's massive. I don't think it needs explanation. But the website is amfreeparty.org.
Amfreeparty.org for the American Freedom Party. And again, I say there are undoubtedly local offices that are ripe for the taking. Offices that are not being heavily sought after, offices that can be won. Because here's the thing, our issues, John, now more than at any time and at any point in my lifetime, I truly believe this, our issues resonate with voters in selected districts. If you get the right candidate who doesn't have a lot of baggage, whether he has to be independent on the ballot or whatever, and a lot of these county and city and county races, everybody runs with no party affiliations. That's interesting to know, too. If you know anything about ballot access, a lot of these small town and county races, you don't put Republican, Democrat, or anything else. So you run, you could have a little bit of support. Yeah, you're running as yourself. And that's how you build a party. You start picking off some of these low-hanging fruits, not the non-sexy races, but then you start to win, and these people have power. I mean, you're one of a handful of people that are governing a city all of a sudden.
This is a wonderful
opportunity for our people, and I think this is the best role American Freedom Party can play for our cause right now, Keith.
Just think about a non-sexy position like election commissioner. Think of how vital that might be. in, you know, in this age of electoral fraud that we're enduring at the present time. That would be a wonderful way to come in there and basically throw a turd in the punch bowl, as they used to say.
Well, we want to do more than that. I mean, we certainly want to win, and I think there are if you selectively identify candidates, the right candidate in the right district, there's a lot of people we could plug and play right now that's just waiting to happen, as we mentioned from Enid, Oklahoma. It did happen. We got 1 minute remaining, John. You went to Europe recently. I wanted to have a whole segment for this. You got 1 minute. You went to Europe recently, just on holiday, but people have already figured out who you are. When you came back home, you got a warm reception. What happened? 60 seconds.
Yeah, absolutely. So what happened was, as I'd gone to Poland on a leisure trip and returned to my warm reception, was being detained and harassed by CBP agents for about 3.5, close to 4 hours. This included searching my bags and going through my personal belongings and interrogating me about my beliefs and grilling me on these different things. Now, ultimately, this is something we all need to be prepared for. And this is not something that's unusual. It's not something new. It's not something that only I have been through. You could be, I don't have something as much as a parking ticket in my 23 years of living, but I was still stopped and treated as, you know, some criminal off the street. And that goes to show that, you know, being a law-abiding citizen does not restrict you from being harassed, from being targeted by these people. They are a menace, and you
Keith,
need to
go to Poland.
You need to be prepared for that.
They did not intimidate him, though. He's still here, and he's still kicking and more determined than ever. Amfreeparty.org. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're thinking about running for elected office, you got a small county or city seat, run, affiliate with the American Freedom Party and help out the cause. Keith, I want you to go to Poland and come back and tell us what happened.
I hope I make it back like John did.
All right. Thank you, John.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Jerry Barmish. Repairs to Interstate 95 in Philadelphia are expected to be expedited. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro says it could be ready for riders within 2 weeks. A bridge collapsed on the roadway after a tanker truck fire a week ago. President Biden said Saturday it's vital to fast-track this emergency infrastructure.
I told the governor there's no more important project right now in the country as far as I'm concerned.
While in Philadelphia, Biden officially kicked off his 2024 re-election campaign at an event organized by unions.
I'm more honored by your endorsement than you can imagine. Coming this early, it's going to make a gigantic difference in this campaign.
Pennsylvania is once again seen as a key swing state in the upcoming election after being won by Biden by just 1 point in 2020. South Korea says the U.S. is supporting the country's efforts to develop a healthy and mature relationship with China.
South Korea's foreign minister says he spoke on the phone with Secretary of State Antony Blinken, and they discussed relations with both China and North Korea. The foreign ministry says they both strongly condemn North Korea's repeated provocations and agreed that the U.S., South Korea, and Japan should urge China to play a stronger role in denuclearization. Blinken will be in China Sunday for the highest-level visit so far by a member of the Biden administration. I'm Brad Siegel.
And Blinken arrived in Beijing Sunday morning for diplomatic talks aimed at calming tensions between the two nations. The Phoenix Mercury and Brittany Griner will be allowed to take charter flights for the rest of the season, after she was harassed last week while waiting for a flight at Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport. The six-time all-WNBA player spent 10 months in a Russian prison in 2022 on drug-related charges before being released in a prisoner exchange last December. This is USA News.
Greece is cheap,
but the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare...
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Well, I was I was asking Keith what we should play for intro music for Father's Day, and he said the intro to My Three Sons, and I played it, and it said My Three Sons. So that was it.
Now, I think My Father Knows Best would probably be the best title, but on the other hand, there's a lot of music that doesn't give you a lot of descriptions about fatherhood or anything like that. We're really straining tonight trying to find bumper music for Father's Day.
Mother's Day, we got covered. We got that. Well, here's what Keith wanted to play. Let's just, here we go. So that's what, I mean, I don't know if anybody.
They at least said My Three Sons at the very beginning. But
well, you know. I got to go. Here's where what he's talking about.
My Three Sons.
That's it.
That's the song. Well, thank you, Keith.
It's been a long time, yeah.
Wonderful,
right,
suggestion. Well, that was 1960. That was 1961, so maybe you forgot, but well, you know, Mother's Day, we got it covered. We got My Mother's Eyes. We've got all these songs that are wonderful.
For the million things she gave me.
Well, Father's Day, I always say on Mother's Day, I wouldn't be here without my mom, but I wouldn't be here without my dad either, but they don't give him any songs.
Well, you know, maybe we're just uncovering a glaring deficiency in American culture. There's nothing for Father's Day, basically, in terms of music or, you know, cultural appreciation like that. Man. But it's... on the other hand, as you said, we both had great fathers, and we are very thankful that we did. We know that a lot of people didn't, but you know, particularly in today's world. But since we did, I can tell you this: I had nothing but utmost respect for my father and the sacrifices he made for our family and for us to get a good education.
He created you.
Well, don't hold that against him.
I know it was his pleasure. I'm sure. But anyway, have you ever seen the movie Stay Tuned?
No, I have not.
Well, here's the thing. It's an early 90s comedy with John Ritter, who we love from Three's Company. We like John Ritter. Jeffrey Jones plays like an agent of the devil. And what happens is, in Stay Tuned, they go and they sell satellite dishes that are connected to hell to willing consumers. And so John Ritter's character buys a satellite dish, and every show is like some sinister twist on the real show, and when you watch it, you get sucked into hell, and you have to, you know, fight your way out. But it's a pretty good comedy. It's a pretty good movie. Now, some of the movies,
weird.
But some of the shows they play, like some of the takes on the things that some of the shows that John Ritter's character has to survive, and if you survive the show in hell, you get to move on to the next show, and if you survive enough, you get to come back to Earth again. One of them is My Three Sons of Bitches. That's one of the show. And another one is David Dukes of Hazzard.
Well, that sounds like heaven.
I have meant to ask David Duke about that for 15 years. Has he ever seen My Three Sons? Has he ever seen Stay Tuned with John Ritter and Jeffrey Jones?
The people that think that David Duke belongs in hell are probably the people that belong in hell themselves, okay?
I don't know if David Duke is himself in hell, but the show is produced by the Hell Network.
And look, David Duke's a Hazard sounds like heaven to me.
It's got a picture of the General Lee car with the and it's just says, instead of Dukes of Hazard, David Dukes of Hazard. And then there's other shows.
Well, that shows you where Hollywood's head is, right up its ass, as usual.
All right. I've been meaning to ask every time I talk or see David, I mean to ask him about, has he ever seen Stay Tuned? I've never asked him, ever. But I got
to
ask
some obscure trivia now. I'll have to hand that one to you.
Everybody, if you've seen it, you can send me an email. Stay tuned. Well, let's look it up now. This is one of those segments, I guess. Stay tuned. I'm typing it in. John Ritter. You know, John's been called home to his final reward. 1992. So
he's the son of Tex Ritter, by the way, the famous Grand Ole Opry star of Nashville back in the day.
All right. Well, hey, listen, there is something we need to tell you about, folks, and that is that here, as we said, the 17th evening of June, year of our Lord 2023, that means we are 2 days beyond the halfway point of our second quarter fundraising drive. Now, these quarter fundraising appeals, as you know, are the lifeblood to TPC. You've heard of the biblical seven lean years and the seven fat years. We've never had one of those fat years. We've had like 19 lean years. But the people who do donate, and every amount matters. You think, well, the show is so big, it's received all of this attention, all of this media publicity over its run. It's got to have all these donors. And, I mean, I'm thankful for the donors we have. I'm sure we have more than some, but we don't have the most of any. And
they don't tend to be the most particularly well-heeled people.
Well, I don't. You know, neither are we. All right. So neither am I, and that's fine. I don't mind that.
Well, we appreciate everything we get, but believe me, every bit you can give is certainly appreciated.
That's the point. So $100 unlocks the first premium of this month, and we try to give one of our friends in Brazil, a Brazilian correspondent who came on this year during March Around the World. He has donated every quarter for as long back as I can remember, and there are a lot of people who can say that. But he sent me a picture of some years ago of his Slate of the Jefferson Davis song that he had framed and in his office.
Right.
And then he sent me a picture just this week. He just had recently framed the David Duke photo art that we offered last summer. And we talked with David about this last week, but that we offered last summer as our fundraising incentive, a piece of photo art that David Duke himself took.
Contribute to us, and your interior decorating problems are over.
Well, you never know what you're going to receive. I think we have unique gifts. That's the thing. We have unique incentives. It's not just like the random book of the month club, although we do have books and signed books and DVDs and audio CDs and all kinds of things that we send out. We try to mix it up, so it's not just book. Photo art, pieces of Jefferson Davis's home, and then, of course, the signed photograph of the German World War II veterans that we gave away last Christmas. He had he had that framed as well.
See, you're going to get a real Duke's mixture of stuff.
No pun intended.
Right. David Duke's mixture.
but we've offered all kinds of things over the years, four times a year, every year for 19 years. That's a lot of different incentive gifts. And this quarter, we have Jared Taylor's audiobook. So we're going to transmit that to you electronically through your email. And if you go up to the second tier, and we have a third tier this time. We've unlocked a signed book. We're not going to tell you by who. Keith, you received one of those signed books tonight. We're not going to tell them who sent in the signed books. Don't tell them.
I'm not going to do it.
But if you are a regular donor and you received the letter, you'll know whose signed books we're sending out, and maybe you'll want one. I think that'll be a tremendous keepsake for years and years and years to come. So that's the thing, and that's that. So if you have not yet contributed this quarter, you're a regular donor, an intermittent donor, or maybe you've never donated. Now, I know, believe me, I see the numbers. I know there are people listening to the show tonight who have never donated. And I'm not just talking about our friends of the ADL, the SBLC, the CIA, and the FBI. There are people who actually are tuning in because they like the show who have never donated. Maybe you can donate this quarter. We need you. We're suffering from Biden's inflation and the Biden economy and so on and so forth.
As I said back in the Depression, brother, can you spare a dime?
We need it. He ain't heavy.
He's my
brother.
My soul brother.
But in any event, so that's that. And if you did receive the fundraising letter, you know how to remit your remittance. If you want to donate to TPC for the first time, well, there's only one way to do it. You got to send it through the USPS because we've been deplatformed by every credit card company in the universe.
And quite frankly, we really do appreciate the people that do go to the trouble to contribute to us, because you had to jump through a bunch of hoops. You know,
you had to write a check or a money order and mail it in. I mean, that's the only way we can receive it. So if you're not doing that, we don't get it.
And we certainly appreciate the people that make that effort.
Well, that's right. If you've done it once or many times or every quarter, or maybe you will We appreciate your considerations. We don't exist without you. I hate wasting a segment fundraising or reminding you that we're in our fundraising appeal, our quarterly season to bring in the fruits. But we have to, or we wouldn't be here. And we don't have grants. We don't have bequests to prop us up. We have just our donors. And every quarter we feel, if you say, hey, they're too big, $25, $50 won't matter. If I don't send in my contribution this quarter, they'll be okay. We feel it all.
$5 would be great, folks.
A dollar would pay for the stamp to send you the solicitation. So does the dollar cover it anymore at the post office? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it does, but
barely.
Will go for the stamp than will come. It's more than 50 cents for the stamp. I don't think.
No, it's 60-something now. You haven't bought a stamp in a while, my friend.
No, I have. It's I think it's 65 or 60.
It's too much. But anyway, folks, believe me, we need it. We feel it. We feel it when it doesn't come in, but we certainly feel it when it does. And we would appreciate your support. And thanks to everyone who has donated this quarter and all of our loyal and faithful donors. We'll be back one more segment this Father's Day weekend. Stay tuned.
Hey there, TPC family. This is James Edwards, your host of the Political Cesspool. Folks, I want you to subscribe to the American Free Press, America's last real newspaper. Against all odds, AFP has and continues to publish a populist, independent print newspaper with an unparalleled track record. Founded by a dedicated group of experienced patriots, AFP pulls no punches and tackles the most controversial and pressing issues facing America from an America First perspective. I've worked with the American Free Press since even before the beginning of TPC. Now that's something. You can subscribe to the print edition by visiting AmericanFreePress.net today or simply pick up a handy digital edition subscription. However you do it, subscribe to the American Free Press, America's last real newspaper, by visiting AmericanFreePress.net or by calling 1-888-699-NEWS, AmericanFreePress.net.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Well, welcome back, everybody. One more segment, and it's going to be a fun segment. I wish it had been two segments, but we had to fundraise because that's because we have to. But
it's the lifeblood of the
mother's milk and all of that. Well, my dad is texting. Happy Father's Day again, Dad, and I wish we had better music for the dads out there. Happy Father's Day to you, Keith, and to Scoop Stanton, who's with us right now.
And happy Father's Day to you.
Well, thank you. My dad and I
both had three children.
My dad wants you to know that Tex Ritter was a singing cowboy. Did you know that?
Absolutely.
All right. I knew you'd know that. But in any event, TPC is sort of like the mothership of Liberty News Radio's Saturday night lineup. We have two spinoffs, one that comes on immediately before us, one that comes on immediately after us, and both are certainly worth listening to. 3 hours before TPC goes live on the air, our old friend, our still friend, but old co-host, Eddie the Bobadier Miller, is doing Blood River Radio. And immediately after us for an hour, you've got Scoop Stanton, who we met. I can't even remember
how long ago. He was our man from D.C. area. He was like our man from Havana.
Well, he was in Spain when we first met him, still in the Navy. And Scoop goes back. I think Scoop was on at least as long as you've been, Keith. He's been there forever. And Scoop left the...
We got some great information. We got some great news stories from him. I remember the time he had Sean Bergen.
He broke some stuff. I mean, yeah. Scoop was a great guy. Well, that's why he's got his own show now.
Yeah, that's right.
You got comfy here up at the cockpit, but some of these other guys just go on and do their own thing.
Doing the field work.
I need
out
two
there.
Guys to pilot the CSS Cesspool. But anyway, let's get to Scoop. I mean, we first met Scoop back in the just a couple of years after we went on the air, maybe a year or two. Great memories with him for so many years. The last segment of every show was his. He took the last segment of every show for years and years and years, got his own show now that comes on immediately after us. So when we go off the air, you stay tuned 8 more minutes, and then you're on with Scoop and Walter Yerkew. Scoop, how you doing tonight?
Outstanding, James. And good evening, political cesspool family. James, I need to correct you for one thing. You make
Please
it
do.
Sound like I just left the cesspool to do my own thing. If you go on the website, I am still the Washington, D.C. correspondent for The Political Cesspool.
He's right. You go to the staff and crew section of thepoliticalcesspool.org. You'll see his beautiful, beautiful face and body. And there it is. And you're at a gravesite, I believe. Are you not in that particular picture,
yep.
Scoop?
That is at Père Lachaise Cemetery. I'm at the gravesite of one Jim Morrison.
There you go. There you go. So... but in addition to still being our D.C. correspondent, although we woefully underutilize you these days, you're hosting your own show. Now, when the show first started, you were with our good friend and fellow criminal justice correspondent, Jim Lancia. Now you're with Walter Yerkew, who for a while starred in what was then at the time the biggest documentary in the history of Netflix.
Right. It still is a huge documentary. You can catch it on YouTube. It's on the Tubi network and everywhere else. It's called The 75. We call the radio show 75 Radio because of Yerkew's involvement with the 75th Precinct. However, our show is not just talking about old tales back in the day with members of New York's finest. So if we have run a story where it involves the police involvement or some law enforcement issue, like with St. George of Fentanyl or Eric Gardner or something else, we could, you know, Walter and I can possibly relate to it, but we don't just, you know, we do current events, law enforcement issues, personal issues, so on and so forth.
Good. Well, let me ask you this. What is going on in D.C. that we need to know about?
Yeah, that's the thing. All kidding and monkey shots aside, I mean, Trump's saying he can't get a fair trial in D.C. for when he gets indicted there. Are there any whites left in D.C. at all?
Besides you.
And certainly there's not any in positions of power, though.
But actually, there is. There are white people on the D.C. council, but again, they're traitors. The District of Columbia has been going through gentrification. A lot of the people who've been there for a while, they're upset because the chicken shack, the rib shack, the liquor store have been replaced with Starbucks, a microbrew, and a yoga studio. So they're upset.
What are the
that
percentages like, Scoop, you know, between white and black?
92
and
to 8, isn't it?
Well, actually, it's been changing a lot. Don't be too surprised in the next couple of election cycles that the next mayor of the district is white.
Well, so you're saying they're gentrifying, which I wrote in my
book.
In other
words, whites are around 50%? Is that what you're
telling
me? No,
well, in my book, I wrote this in 2010. If it's white flight, it's racism. If it's gentrification, it's racism. You can't move at all without being racist.
Whatever it is, it's racism. But tell us what it is. What is the percentage?
I'm surprised to hear this.
It is it's under 50%. D.C. is still a majority black city. The the personnel who do work, draw a paycheck from the district are black. The council members, it's about 50-50, but as you can imagine, all the council members for the district are absolute traitors. And
well, that's the thing. I mean, that's the thing. Just because they're white, don't mean they're allies. I mean, they're white. We certainly don't want D.C. becoming
and all the government jobs have been snarfed up by the blacks, right?
We certainly don't want D.C. getting its own two senators or anything like that.
Right. Exactly. And but Mayor Muriel Bowser, she's doing her best to. To drive the whites out because with the help of the U.S. attorney, 66% of all arrestees in the District of Columbia do not get charged. And D.C. is different than any other territory jurisdiction. They have U.S. attorneys as their prosecuting attorney. They don't have a sheriff's office, so they have U.S. marshals act as the sheriff. So you have a 66% chance of not getting charged, number one. And now people are not coming into the district because of the carjackings through the roof. There's been over 100 homicides in this, it looks like Mogadishu. On Mother's Day, a 10-year-old girl was shot and killed while riding the backseat of the family SUV. And then in Suitland, Maryland, the funeral director for the funeral home where that 10-year-old girl shot a pallbearer from a rival, so-called rival funeral home over God knows what at the cemetery. So this mother's trying to bury her baby girl, and the funeral director shoots a pallbearer from another funeral home.
the funeral director is gunning him down, huh? I guess he's making business for himself.
Right. And just recently, a pregnant woman was shot and eventually died sitting in her car. Fortunately, she was able to give birth and the baby's in serious condition, but she was shot and killed. And the two guys that did it just turned the car into Swiss cheese. So, I mean, it's D.C.'s just actually falling apart.
Some things never change about D.C., do they?
How you survive? Right. Well, I was going to ask.
Well, you know, we sent you that wonderful mayor, Marion Barry. He was from Memphis. Did you know that?
Well, I was going to ask Coop how he survives there, but then I ask ourselves, how do we survive here?
Same thing.
Well, because I survived by not going into the district. I have no bit other than work, which, you know, we all have to work. I have no reason to go in the district. When I do Uber, I take trips out of the district. I don't go into neighborhoods east of the Anacostia River or in Prince George's County because it's a safety issue. And our buddy Stas, who's delivering on DoorDash on his bicycle, I keep telling him, Stas, find something else. It's not worth it because these animals will shoot and kill Stas and just for some pork fried rice.
They'll steal the quarters off a dead man's eyes, as we say down here in Memphis.
Yep. So that's, I mean, and then the city council decriminalized fare beating. New York, we called it the New York Olympics when they jumped over the turnstile. So instead of a criminal offense where you can face jail time, it's a civil offense like a parking ticket because too many young men of color are affected by the Metro Transit Police cracking down on fare beating. So nobody pays in the District of Columbia because the cops are like, why do it? It's just a parking ticket. It doesn't mean anything. So as they're walking through the gates, smoking weed on the trains, exposing themselves on the trains, fighting on the trains, discharging weapons on the trains. So needless to say, I drive.
Sounds like a criminal's paradise there.
All right. So, folks, we're remembering Scoop tonight, our still D.C. correspondent, although not on every week to say the least, because he's got his own show now that follows TPC. We call it affectionately the Fourth Hour. Now, if you stay tuned to this feed you're currently listening to, if you're listening live, in a couple of minutes, Scoop's going to be on with his own show, as he is every week for years and years and years now. Scoop, give us a 1 minute. Oh, give us a 10-second preview. What do you got coming up tonight? There's the music. That sounded like what, Keith?
It sounded like a harpsichord with a cat stuck in it.
Folks, help us out, and thanks to everybody for tuning in. And for everybody who participated tonight, Scoop, I don't know what happened there. You were a little garbled, but I'm going to stay tuned to the fourth hour, affectionately known as Scoop Show with Scoop and Walt. And for everybody else, we'll talk to you next week. Happy Father's Day. Do something for your dad tomorrow. And we'll talk to you next week. What's going on next? Oh, big show next week. Mark Weber, Roger Devlin, and a few other tricks and surprises. We'll talk to you then. Good night, everybody.